Thank you for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and make him known. If you like our podcast, subscribe and leave us a great rating on Apple Podcasts. Thank you, and we hope you enjoy.
Good morning, Streams Online, and for those of you that are just online and looking, good morning. I noticed that the business side didn't get quite the applause. Go figure. So I want to preface my message this morning. I'm going to be preaching out of the book of James. When I was a young person, we called James the book of conviction, because every time you read it, God dug something up and set it out in front of you and allowed you and he to talk it over and to work through it. And most of the time, it was one of those life-changing kind of topics. So James has always been a bit of a in-your-face kind of book to me. So as I was asking God to do something with the book of James, because here we are in the midst of what's going on in the world. People are under pressure. People are feeling tense. All kinds of stuff going on in life that isn't what we really want always. So I just asked the Lord, Lord, I just really would like you to do something unique, do something special to help me, first of all, because it's a difficult thing to present some of this stuff. I'll just share that with you for a couple of reasons, and I'll share those too. So I asked the Lord, you need to do something. So Lord, what can you do for me? And let me share this with you. Some of you in the room today, we just sang that song, even when I don't feel it, he's working. Even when I don't see it, he's working. He's working right now as I'm speaking in your life and in your life. I asked the Lord to reach out like he did when he said he went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. Do you know that there's demonic oppression upon us just in this current environment? All you have to do is read the news, which I try to avoid. But God's speaking. Some of you, God wants to heal. Not just emotionally, but physically. So while we're talking and going through this morning, I want you to just be attentive to his voice. Just listen. And when he says, I'm talking to you, just respond to him. Some of you, God needs to do some work in the realm of how we deal spiritually. And that's probably where I want to start my message. I'm going to give you just a brief story about me so that some of this will make better sense. My family was in the church till I was 11 years old. At that point, difficult times come and people do crazy things. For example, some people just up and leave the church, and some people up and leave Jesus, and some people leave both. Well, my family did both when I was 11 years old. By the time I was 12, I was already a ward of the court and headed into juvenile detention most of the rest of my youth. It messed me up. I learned something that I'll share with you right now. When you have an issue inside and you leave someplace, surprise, you're taking that issue with you. It doesn't go away when you leave. You take it with you. God needs to set some of us free this morning of that very thing, which I'm excited about. So, my family life was pretty difficult, to say the least. Most of the time, it was loud, noisy, and violent. So what do you suppose I learned to do? One, I learned to survive. And I did that by being loud, noisy, and violent. Right? You got to fit in. And so when I got saved, and I'll just jump ahead, I was 26 years old when my wife and I gave our hearts back to the Lord. But then I found out some of the things in my life didn't just go away. For example, I would witness to people, and if they didn't want to listen, I would get loud, angry, And I did jump up on a counter once. I wouldn't call that violent, but I think that was my next step. So, and I recognized when that happened, I recognized that, God, you got to do something with that guy inside me. Because he's still wanting to be that way. It's natural to him. But it's not natural for the guy that God wants to create or recreate. So let me read to you from the book of James, and hopefully we'll get our slides up as we go. Excellent job, guys. He says, what causes quarrels and arguments with each other? What causes that? They come from conflicting, selfish desires that are always fighting inside you. Well, that's when I realized that my anger and my loud, noisy attitude was because I wanted my way, and I want my way all the time. And I can work with people who will just let me have my way. You ever run into people like that? Oh, they're loads of fun. So he says, you want things you don't have, so you're ready to kill to get them. Well, that's a little rough, but remember, James is talking to believers. He's talking to the church. He started out in James chapter 1 saying to those that are in the diaspora, this is the body of Christ he's talking to. These guys have issues. Whenever I read something in the Bible that says this guy has an issue, I feel better about myself. I go, well, he's got an issue and he's an apostle. It's okay if I have an issue because God's still working. Even when I don't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. Right now, he's working. He says, you covet what others, what others have, but you can't get it. So you quarrel and get in fights. This period of time in the church, there's a tremendous amount of pressure on people, and people are having moments of explosion that they haven't seen for years. They're having moments of doubt. They're having moments of anger. There's pent-up emotion that's just whirling around in the body of Christ. So actually, James fits pretty good to our circumstance. He says, you don't have because you don't ask God for it. Well, there's a clue right there of something that we should learn to do real quick. We should begin asking God for things and not reaching out beyond that. And if you ask, you don't receive it because you ask with the wrong motivation. You only want what gives you pleasure. And some of us can say, well, duh. Of course, that's what I want. I want to be happy. I want to have a good time. I want things to do. I want to be able to, and that's not how it always goes. You cheat on God when you have an affair with what the world values. I can't think of a more pointed statement. You cheat on God. In a relationship, most of us, in one way or another, have had broken relationship. It doesn't feel good. It hurts to feel like trust has been broken and you don't know what to do. Imagine this statement when he says, you cheat on God when you have an affair with the world values. What the world values. To love what the world loves is to hate God and to be the enemy of God. Man, I had to stop right there, and I'll tell you, it was like a quick check, a list of things. What is it? What's okay to do? I grew up, I love baseball. I mean, I love baseball more than anything, especially after the family left church, because then I occupied my time with baseball. Baseball is a rather physical sport. But I found that you can love the right thing too much. You can love an okay thing, and it can creep in and eventually take over and becomes a priority rather than a pleasure. This is what the scripture means when it says that God's spirit who lives inside us is intensely jealous. He wants our exclusive love. That's why he gives us so much grace. And we should say, thank you, God, for your grace. As the scripture says, God opposes the prideful but gives grace to the humble. So give yourselves completely to God. Then resist the devil and he will flee from you. The Greek is really nice there. It literally means he must take flight. So when you stand up to the enemy and say, no, you're not going there, he's got to turn and run. If you draw close to God, he'll draw close to you. Wash your hands of your sins and purify your heart of your double-minded living. Be sad and sorry and grieve over your actions. Stop laughing at your sin and get serious about it. If you humble yourself before the Lord, he will lift you up. Oh my gosh, I get done reading that and it's just like, whoa. So now let me share with you some of the problem, real quick. Conflicting desires inside me. That's what causes the quarrels. Now, I asked Pastor Lloyd why he chose me to do this sermon, and he said, my wife recommended it. I thought about that, and I thought, okay, well, she's probably got, you know, a heads up on most of my life, so this is probably good for me. I'm going to read Galatians 5:17, and I'm going to actually read it in the Passion Translation. It says, for your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder him from living free within you. Your self-life, your flesh, your carnal man. He has cravings that we give into, and it keeps God from having his proper place in our life. So what do we do? He goes on and says, and the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your old self-life from dominating you. Well, there's an argument right there. So then, the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the Spirit. Banging heads. Have you ever seen that in relationships with other people? I want this, you want that. I will tell, Cookie and I have been married a few years now, and there was a period of time where we had to figure out who's going to win the argument. I just wanted to win them all, and she figured out that that's not good for me, and so we had to learn how to allow the Lord to come into that relationship and help us put down our flesh man and walk, as it were, in the Spirit. So that's the problem. I put all my notes on lots of pieces of paper so Pastor Lloyd would go, wow, that's a lot of paper. He is really going to go a long time. So let me offer you a solution. This is a solution that James gives us. He says, wash your hands of your sins and purify your heart of your double-minded living. What that simply means is, get on your face before God, repent, and tell God, I need some work up here. I need the washing of the water of your word in my mind. In other words, when I face a situation, the first thing I want to deal with is I want your word to come up inside me. I want scripture to come up and help me so that when I'm facing a situation or facing an issue, I've got your perspective first and foremost. You think, I read that and it's like, stop laughing at your sin. Have you ever done that? Have you ever, you know, you do something wrong and you kind of chuckle to make it easier? You ever done that? I have. Then again, my wife says I'm a little different, so. Another solution point. Don't expect people or things to fulfill needs that only God can fulfill. As a young married couple, that was a challenge. Because, you know, when I got married, I thought, are we on track there, Lloyd? Yeah. Oh, good. When I got married, I thought Cookie was going to fill all my needs. No, that doesn't work that way. In fact, when we gave our lives back to the Lord, I recognized how selfish that was. And then I realized how much of that self-gratification stuff is really bred into us through society. And that the Lord, the walk with the Lord, that's just not that way. Really, the walk of the Lord is an outward walk for others and with others. I'll just tell you right now that when I told you that the Lord was going to do some things, something in the room that's whirling around for me, and I'll just share this with you, is that God really does look in the body of Christ, and he really does put his hand on people. There's someone or some ones in the room that God is really stirring about some issues in their past, just like my issues. And I'll just share this with you. If you've had anger issues, if you've had conflict and confrontation issues, you don't have to stand up, you don't have to raise your hand, you just have to say, "Yes, Lord, that's me. That's me, and I want to be free." He says in 1 John chapter 2, "Don't set the affections of your heart on this world or in loving the things of this world. The love of the Father and the love of the world are incompatible. For all that the world can offer us, the gratification of our flesh, the allurement of the things of the world, and the obsession with status and importance, none of these things come from the Father, but from the world. This world and its desires are in the process of passing away. But those who love to do the will of God live forever." What a promise. Is that a great promise? Sometimes in the world we see a lot of negative things, a lot of death, a lot of decay. But we have a promise that there's a day that we're coming up out of that and we'll live forever. Another part of the solution: choose humility over pride. James 4:10 simply says, "If you humble yourself before the Lord, he will lift you up." If you humble yourself before the Lord, he will lift you up. Let me give you a quick abbreviation of humility. Humility isn't to get down on your face and drag yourself across the carpet. When I was in Bible college, one of my professors looked at me over the table and said, "This is humility, Paul. When you can walk shoulder to shoulder with any man. You may be smarter than they are, you come down. You may not be as smart, that's okay, they should come down. But when we learn to walk shoulder to shoulder with anybody, with everybody, that's humility. You don't have to show off. You don't have to prove that you got a big brain pan or you've got bigger muscles or any of that kind of stuff. You just walk with humility. When you live in a family that there's a lot of arrogance or a lot of pride or a lot of ego, a lot of accomplishment-oriented stuff, it gets in you and it's difficult to humble yourself. But the Lord promised that if you'll humble yourself, he will lift you up. Here's my favorite one. Allow Scripture to guide your thoughts and your words. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace that Christ gives control your thinking, because as members of Christ's body, you are called to live in peace." And peace, by the way, is not just the absence of conflict. Just because things are going well around the house doesn't mean you have peace. Okay, we've got a couple of extra minutes, Pastor, because I'm doing pretty good on time. I need three people on this side to smile. There we go. Okay, three over here. Okay, because when this comes forward, do you realize how penetrating it is? It's like, "Well, that's not me." You know, thank God it's not you. This is the way God works. Sometimes he corrects you now, and sometimes he prepares you for the future. Right? So it may not be you right now, but you're getting a lesson on what to avoid. Amen? You're getting a moment in time where God says, "Look, if you hear this, it'll keep you out of trouble." So maybe it's not you this morning that's dealing with those issues, but they're going to come up one way or another because there's always that other guy coming at you, all right? And he may have an issue. So this is good preparation. And I just need about 6 smiles in a room to keep me going, because I have sat before the Lord many, many hours now over this scripture and thought, good grief, this is tough. There's people out in the world, there's people in the body of Christ that all of a sudden there's an explosion in the house. And you know what happens? Our pride gets in the way. We don't want to call anybody and tell them, help. Because, you know, we're Christians. We don't have those kind of issues. Yes, we do. And God allows them to be exposed so he can deal with them. Not so he can make you feel bad. Not so he can make you feel like you're a failure. He shows us what's in our life so he can change us from glory to glory. That's what the Bible says. We're going from one state of goodness to a continual process of goodness until God can reveal his glory in us. The Bible says we have that treasure in clay jars, earthen vessels. God's in the process, even in this pandemic time, of churning through our lives in the entire body of Christ to clean us out. Some people talk about the amount of people that have left the church. I don't worry about people that leave the church. I left and I came back. I worry that they don't stop listening to the voice of God. All the time I was not walking with the Lord, I can tell you, he showed up in places. I actually, one time at a certain point in my life, said, you don't belong here. Out loud, my friends looked at me and said, who are you talking to? And I went, yeah, well, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. The Lord never let up on me. Never. So in closing, and I think we're close to closing, here's the answer. Draw near to God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now, what does that mean? Some people think that means spend 8 hours on your face in prayer. No, it literally means just keep your heart in a constant position of saying to God, I want you more than anything. When you're in a state of conflict with a spouse or a friend or whoever, just stop. Just stop yourself and say, wait a minute, I want Jesus more than anything. Whatever it is we're having an issue over, it's not that important. If it costs the presence of God in my life, really? Think about that. You don't want to be willing to give up the presence of God just so you can have a pleasure, or just so you can be right in an argument, or just so you can get your way. Let's face it, the most precious thing on the planet is the presence of God. Moses asked, God, show me your glory. And God said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll show you my goodness. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. God, show us your goodness. Show us your glory. Okay, I'm going to tell you that that is one of the hardest parts of Scripture to get through. But here's the fun part. I would like you to stand with me. You just want to put your hands up, close your eyes, and just listen as I pray for a moment. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you, God, for your word. Father, we thank you that you can look deep inside us and give us grace. Thank you that you can see the issues that I deal with. And then show me where I haven't done it right. Show me, God, where I could do it better. But thank you for loving me, even through these hard times. Thank you that your presence is more precious to me than anything else. Because in your presence, God, is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. It's not this world, God. It's not what this world has to offer me. It truly is your joy, your presence, and your goodness that we've got to have. Father, deliver us from those things, oh God, that hinder. Set us free, fill us with joy, And we give you thanks for this day in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen.
Thank you for listening to our sermon. If you want to know more about us, you can find us at streamschurch.org or on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And if you enjoyed this content, subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Till next time, have a great week.